Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Kid Stays in the Podcast. I'm your host, Trey Cooper, and joining me today is...
Sea Otter Cooper.
Sea Otter?
Yeah. Sea Otter Cooper. Sea Otter Cooper. What song? You like it?
It has a nice ring to it, but I don't understand what it has to do with the movie we're talking about. Is there an otter in this movie?
Yes.
Oh, you're right, there
for
is.
For one, there is an otter, and for two, I just looked up, like...
Sea otter seems kind of redundant, though.
Well, it had to start with an S.
Okay.
And it was funny because I looked up animals that start with S.
Well, joining me as always is Solomon Cooper, and we're going to be discussing...
Bro, cut me off.
Yeah, I know. Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Hooray!
The finale of James Gunn's Guardians series.
And the finale of his Marvel life.
Yep. At least for now.
Forever.
But... It probably is his last Marvel movie. So, everybody kind of knows what Guardians of the Galaxy is about. We will have Solomon give a plot synopsis in a second. But before we do that, let's just do a quick walk down memory road.
Lane.
Nope, I hate memory lane. I only go down memory road.
Okay, Dad.
Sometimes memory highway or boulevard.
Okay. So, I like the highway, personally.
So, Guardians 1 comes out. Do you remember going to see that at the theater? It's because it's been a while. We all went and saw it. It was one of the last movies we saw with, like, everyone in the family. It was, like, all of our cousins were there, grandparents, my parents.
I don't remember that part.
Meanwhile, Joanne was there.
Don't remember it.
But you remember seeing it at the theater?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're going to elaborate, or are you just going to, like, say, mm-hmm?
I just remember seeing a big screen and then watching that movie.
And
seeing Ronan explode.
And having feelings. Any feelings about the movie?
I had no feelings whatsoever. I sat there like a brick. I feel like a brick.
You
mentally.
You are.
Thank you.
Mentally like a brick.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anyway, are you not going to elaborate? The whole point of this is so we can express our feelings about each of the Guardians movies.
Oh, I really, really loved it. It was really fun. I thought it was really funny and had a unique spin on the Marvel movies. It felt uniquely itself and not like just like cringe quips that aren't really that funny.
The way you're talking sounds like someone has taken you hostage and you're reading off a piece of paper while they're about to saw your head off.
It was really funny.
It was really good. I did like it.
It was genuinely funny, and I did enjoy all the aspects of the said movie.
So, yeah, Guardians 1, absolutely loved it. I was like most people, everybody, like, there's nothing unique about us loving the movie. You know what I mean?
Everyone loves that movie.
Yeah, everyone loved it.
A loser who's like, oh, I don't like movies.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I don't like the Marvel movies because they're so mainstream. But I mean, that's not why.
Really, Guardians slipped past even those people's defenses because it didn't feel like a normal Marvel movie. It wasn't, other than like the Thanos stuff, it wasn't like trying to force itself into another franchise. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Getting a stretch.
Then Guardians 2 came out.
I do not remember that movie.
Maybe it was a combination of expectations and a bit of Marvel fatigue kind of setting in at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I actively didn't like that movie.
I did like it. I remember liking it, but I don't really remember it very well.
I was so upset that I didn't like it too, because you have Kurt Russell playing Ego the Living Planet.
Oh yeah.
Who's like his dad. Mm-hmm. I should have loved that. But
Baby Groot was in it. That was
Baby
funny.
Groot was
we
in
love
it.
Baby Groot. Yeah.
But something about it just didn't work. The humor wasn't funny to me. I felt like the jokes, I didn't remember laughing at all. And then the ending fight, even though it's supposed to be really sad because he realizes that Yondu was more of a dad than his real dad, ego was. But the fight was just one of those CGI kind of fights that I hate, where it's just like them fighting a bunch of tentacles and, you know what I mean, CGI rocks and whatever.
Yeah.
So even though Yondu sacrifices himself to save Peter, it just was, didn't mean anything to me at all.
And then
the Christmas special.
The Christmas special. I'm glad you remembered, because that is canon and important to this to the series.
Yeah. So I don't remember in the Christmas special how or why or when they revealed that Mantis is Peter's sister.
That was in the second movie.
That's what I thought, but my friend said that it was in the Christmas special.
Maybe it was.
Okay. Well, apparently it was. Anyway, so that brings us to Guardians 3. I thought it looked pretty good.
We didn't even discuss this Christmas special.
The Christmas special is a nothing sandwich.
That's not true.
I mean, it was fun, but
yeah,
like,
it was really fun. We really liked that. They kidnap
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, and it was just a fun, good time. We've been saying our feelings about all the other things. Why can't we say our feelings about this thing?
Okay.
We watched it on Christmas, and we were so happy.
I think we watched it multiple times.
I did not.
Did you not go to the Christmas party with I don't want to just be saying people's names if they don't want to be on this podcast. But Brian Hill's Christmas party.
I didn't.
Brian Hill of the Resistors.
Yes. Yeah, he had a what's it called party, and I really wanted to go, but I was absent, for I had to go somewhere, I believe.
Yeah, well, I don't think he'll be upset about us dropping his name or the band's name on this podcast, since he did come see us perform this podcast live.
He did. He did.
So you didn't go to the Christmas party, though?
No.
Oh, well, we watched it again there.
The Solstice Festival.
Yeah, the Winter Solstice Festival. Yeah, but well, we watched it again there.
Oh, that's fun. Good for you.
Anyway, so yeah, they kidnap Kevin Bacon. There's a bunch of jokes, blah, blah, blah. The end.
Yeah, good. Good stuff.
But I will say that even though I enjoyed that Christmas special, it did not seem, it didn't give me a huge amount of hope for Guardians 3, specifically because Chris Pratt seemed so incredibly bored of being there. Like the whole thing with Guardians 1 is that Chris Pratt's presence was like so charming and funny, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he carried that for a long time. But then he started doing all these other blockbusters, and I don't think he's ever done particularly well in them. And I'm not one of those people who now has joined this new train
Chris Pratt
of
hate.
Yeah, like it's like Chris Pratt got really so popular that then everyone turned against him, you know?
Yeah.
Because he was in everything. But quite frankly, you know, whether it's the sci-fi movies that he's done for like Amazon or Netflix or
Mario movie.
No, I'm not going to use the Mario movies as an example. I was going to say like Jurassic World. Like he's just a non-presence in those movies.
Oh, you're saying mean things?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something nice.
Nope.
Okay. That's fair.
And they flattened everything about him that was charming when he has to play these other action hero roles. And I'm not blaming him for that. I'm just saying
that's just what they've been tasked with him to do.
Oh my God.
They tasked him to do.
Your energy level is like at
what do you
sub,
mean, father?
It's like sub zero.
I am up and ready to go. Let's get it.
Anyway, we're 8 minutes in and we haven't even talked about the movie we're talking about. So let's cut through all the rabbit holes that we just went down, and let's go straight to Guardians 3,
Volume 3.
Finale of the Guardians as we know them, probably for most of the actors.
Unfortunately.
Are you just yawning openly into the microphone? That's really what the point that we're at right now?
You're really being annoying.
You were talking like this is on video.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have known because I was behind my microphone doing this.
I could literally hear you go, oh.
I did not do that.
Anyway, Guardians 3. Solomon's obviously very keen and eager and excited to talk about it. Why don't you give us a quick plot synopsis of this movie? Come on.
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Good.
You're being so mean and annoying.
I hope you get annoyed. That will be something.
It's not, but I don't want to feel annoyed. I want to feel good. And I can't give a plot synopsis of this movie. It's too hard. I'm too tired.
Oh, see?
Not tired. Too tired of your crap.
Let's go. I want a plot synopsis, and I want one stat.
Okay. Rocket is important, and there's this dude.
Oh, this is the worst. This is already the worst.
There is this dude. I don't remember his name.
Oh, God. It's even worse than I thought it was going to be.
And he's going to change the world by creating new species that are better, the perfect species, better than humans, better than anything. And that's what he feels like it is his duty to do. And we got to stop him. The end.
That was not a plot synopsis. Like, literally wasn't a plot synopsis at all. A very easy plot synopsis would be Rocket gets injured at the beginning of the movie, and due to the way that he was designed, the team has to go on an epic journey to find the key they need to bring him back to life.
That was not the same as what I said.
Nope, but it is what the plot of the movie is.
We were close, though. They're kind of similar. I could see some overlap.
Also, whenever you were saying that you didn't know what the guy's name was, I thought you were talking about Adam Warlock.
I wasn't.
I know. I figured that out.
The bad guy. The big bad guy. But do you not remember it either? Because,
They call it the Grand Evolutionary or something like that. Yeah. High Evolutionary.
Yeah. So we got it. I think that was a really good teamwork there. We got some good we worked together to do that one.
Yeah. I mean, you actively worked against the process, and I came in and fixed it. So
no, I think we really had some baton pass style.
I would say in this situation, you were the iceberg and the Titanic, and I was the time machine that came and fixed it all from ever happening.
Okay. That's a really weird analogy. All right, so
Guardians. Let's get the big golden elephant in the room out of the way up front. Guardians teased Adam Warlock in the end of Guardians 2. They made a big deal about it. Adam Warlock in the comics is a very important character,
mm-hmm.
and people were really excited about seeing him. And then James Gunn got fired from Marvel.
Oof.
And went in over to DC and worked on Suicide Squad and Peacemaker show. So Guardians 3 kind of got pushed back. And while that happened, a lot of other things happened in the Marvel universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So by the time they get back to Guardians 2, the way that they were planning on Guardians 3, the things that they were planning on using Adam Warlock for, or how they were going to use him, it kind of pretty much evaporated. But they still had to use him, they felt like, because they already had teased him.
Well, of course.
And so, I didn't have a problem with how they used him, but he definitely feels shoehorned into the movie for a character that's that big in the comics. But for folks who are big Adam Warlock fans, this is not your daddy's Adam Warlock.
Your daddy's Adam Warlock?
Nope.
Is that a term that people say?
This ain't Grandpappy's Adam Warlock. This Adam Warlock is kind of a bumbling imbecile.
Yeah.
Petulant man-child.
Well, he's just created, so he's still an innocent baby.
But Adam Warlock in the comics is kind of a genius.
Well, yeah, but he's an innocent baby right now.
Yeah, well.
So soon he'll be a genius.
But yes, so the movie opens with an attack on the Guardians by Adam Warlock.
Mm-hmm.
Which severely injures Rocket. And like I said in my synopsis, they realized that whoever it was that created Rocket, you know what I mean, did all the experiments on him to make him a sentient raccoon.
Yeah.
They installed a device in him that will not allow them to
do any surgery
or whatever, or else he'll die.
Yeah, so you need to get a key to
to
unlock that.
Also, this is something that I know I'm going to sound really dumb, but so Gamora's back in this.
Yes, she is.
And I don't remember when they brought her back.
In this movie?
In general. When did she come back? She's already came back. Huh?
Endgame.
She comes back in Endgame?
Yes.
Okay, I thought there was something like that was really stupid. that I didn't remember. But when did she come back in Endgame? No, it's really stupid that I didn't remember it. Not that it's stupid that it happened.
Okay. Yeah, that is really cringe of you. Yeah, she came back because they all went back in time, and then like they needed her for something or something like that. Or no, because Thanos came back, came to the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were like he knows everything, and then so took his children with him, I guess.
That didn't seem very convincing.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but it does happen in Endgame, and that's all that matters.
Okay, so when they do that time travel-y stuff, that's where they grab a Gamora from the past and, like, pull her with them.
Yes.
Okay.
Somehow. Someone does.
All right. Well, yeah, so Gamora's back, but it's not the same Gamora, and they do a great job, I think, with that. But we need to take a quick break, and we'll jump right back into it.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Let's get a break. We'll see you in a little bit, guys. And we're going to get some good talking in.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Welcome back to the Kid Stays in the Podcast and our discussion of Guardians in the Galaxy, Volume 3.
Guardians in the Galaxy?
In the Galaxy.
It's not Guardians in the Galaxy.
In the Galaxy.
No, it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, it's not Guardians and the Galaxy?
No, the Guardians aren't hanging out with the Galaxy going on adventures.
You're right, I did misspeak.
All right, so we were talking about Gamora. And
how we really liked how she was done.
Yes. So
character development wise.
There's a lot of bold choices going on in this movie for a blockbuster. I want to be really, really clear. This is not some kind of like little indie darling. I understand that. But for a big Marvel blockbuster, and Marvel's kind of been stagnating for a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's some big swings in this. Maybe some of them don't work for some people. Most of them worked for me. But my favorite was that I was really concerned that this movie was just going to be a rehash of Guardians 1 of Gamora and Peter having the same kind of banter while they slowly fall in love with each other. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, this is a movie where Peter is just having to accept the fact that this is not the same Gamora. She didn't have the same experiences, and your life experiences determine who you are.
Yes.
And she's not in love with him, and that she's not going to be in love with him. You know what I mean? He basically is like having to let go of her.
It's very, very sad.
As a person. And then, yes, we do have some kind of familiar beats of Gamora learning to like trust them, but it's not in the same way at all.
No.
So I really appreciated that.
But yeah, they didn't just do exactly the same thing. They just made it be sad.
Yeah.
And they allowed it to be normal.
Yeah, they gave a lot of emotional arcs to the core cast. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The tones in this movie switch very rapidly. And some people have said like, oh, gave us tonal whiplash or, you know what I mean? It's not held together very well. I don't agree with that because you need to have the funny charm of the Guardians, right? That's been like a signature of the franchise.
Of course.
But they are trying to get into some deeper stuff with these characters.
Yeah.
And I thought it worked really well. But if you think about it, there's some effed up stuff in this movie.
Oh, so much sad things.
I mean,
horrible, yeah. Dark. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to give a shout out, I guess, to the pitch meeting guys because they straight up made this exact same, like, commentary.
Guy,
yes. But they were like, oh, you're going to hate this villain so much. You're going to hate him like immediately. He's like, oh, how are you going to make us do that? And then he's like, well, see this little picture of a puppy I just drew? Now I'm just going to punch it. I'm going to punch it in the face. And he's like, oh, I do hate you. But that really, I mean, the villain in this movie, like I didn't think about it while I was watching it, but after, you know, sitting on it for a couple of days, if you really think about it, the villain of this movie literally shoots a baby bunny rabbit. Can you think of like a more over the top way of making somebody evil?
No, that's so true. She shoots.
And it's not like just a random rabbit where it's like kind of funny. It's like a character in the movie that's like a baby bunny rabbit.
And a sea otter.
We're going to get to that, but I'm just saying.
That's very weird, actually. You're so right.
Yeah, it's like so over the top.
Although it would be really, really funny if he did just shoot a random bunny that was hopping across the...
That's the thing, though. That would be funny.
Yeah.
Was not funny in this.
It was not. It was horribly sad.
So, yeah, the movie alternates between what some people have called Book of Boba Fett syndrome, which is constantly flashing back to someone's past.
This is not...
While they're in a coma.
I don't think it's... I think it's far too mean to call anything Book of Boba Fett syndrome, but yes.
I agree. They were saying structurally, and they were saying that the difference is... And we probably wouldn't have felt the same way about Book of Boba Fett had those flashbacks been interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Here they are. So it works.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's mostly about Rocket's past, how he was created, and his time with the High Evolutionary who's trying to make, you know, perfect beings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've spent a lot of time with Rocket and these three other animal friends that he has that are all imprisoned, who all have been given sentience, you know, by the High Evolutionary.
Yes.
And while we know Rocket's process and procedures that they did to make him be able to walk around and whatever were pretty horrendous, these other animals were obviously early prototypes. So they are, in different ways, kind of grotesque. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, like, they make you feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah, you like feel bad. Like they had him because with Rocket, you need him to just look like a raccoon that walks around and talks, right?
Yeah.
But with these other animals, they needed you to see how horrible the experiments that were being done on them were.
Yeah.
Just at first glance, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like I'm the one who's like dominating this conversation. So, do you want to like talk about those animals and like? Their personalities. Yeah, I know.
We'll move it forward.
No, I like it right there.
No, fix it.
No, I love it right where it is.
Okay. Continue what you're saying. You're saying a question.
No, I was just going to ask you to like go walk us through like this relationship they have with this core group of animals.
Yeah.
And like who they are, you know.
So I'll just describe some of them to you so you can understand like where, because you obviously... Because these end up being like Rocket's like best friends, obviously, because they're like the only people we can, the people that he gets to hang out with. And, but so you obviously feel, I keep saying obviously, so they do want you to feel like very, like connected to them and like you love them just as much as Rocket does. But yeah, there is like a walrus in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
A bunny rabbit with robot spider legs. It all looks...
And like a face mask thing.
Yeah. And an otter with robot legs. And it all looks like... And it makes you feel exactly like how... And what Sid did in the Toy Story movie.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it's a straight riff of Toy Story.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. And I just now thought of that. And I'm...
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think of that sooner. So yeah, it was just it's all very, very weird and uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah, they definitely like it. You feel exactly how you felt when you first watched Toy Story 1, and the toys come out from under Sid's bed, and they're like scary looking, and creepy.
And they made me feel that movie made me feel sick when I first watched it.
Toy Story.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause it made me feel so sad and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happens in here. But then you like grow to love these characters, and they're talking about
they gave themselves names because they only had like serial numbers or whatever.
Yeah, so it's Rocket because he wanted to fly away.
Mm-hmm.
Floor.
Yeah, because the bunny rabbit is a baby and she just saw the floor, so she named herself that.
What was the walrus's name?
Toofs.
Teefs.
Toofs.
It was Teefs.
If I look it up and it's not Toofs.
If I look it up.
Hang on. Who's going to get what? What am I going to get whenever I look it up?
I get $5. You get to thump me in the face.
And the nose.
In the nose.
Live on the air.
It's fine.
Okay.
But you're going to give me $5 live on the air, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Keep describing them.
And then what was the other girl's name? The otter's name? It was like Lily or something.
Layla? Mm-hmm.
Lila. Lilac.
Bro, you don't even know anything.
It might not be that one. I'm not gonna bet on that one though. So yeah, then it's
Lila, as I said. Oh, that
you said Lila. I said Lila. You said Layla. Actually,
I said Layla.
Yeah,
but I was saying Lila, but in a country accent.
Layla.
I was like Lila. I did not realize that was Linda Cardinelli. That's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, and then it's just really sweet to watch them and be all excited for they're all just so happy to be like sentient and just find people that they know and like, and they're all just really friends. It's just super sweet to watch them do this. But obviously there's a but, and it's really sad because they trust the high evolutionary somewhat, even though they know they've been experimented on and whatnot. They still believe in the cause of all of us becoming and going on to the new planet of people. But the high evolutionary does not like them because they're just an experiment. And Rocket finds this out whenever the new experiment works out, and then they make octopus people who are just people with basically an octopus head, and it's really weird. Like one of those hats that you get at the fair. Mm-hmm. It just is like that, but a realistic one. Did you find out the name?
I'm waiting.
You're waiting to tell me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would like you to tell me now.
It's Teefs.
Okay, that's exactly what I thought. $5 live on the air.
Gosh, I don't have $5
on
me.
You have Venmo.
The thump was happening live on the air. Nobody needs to hear me Venmo you.
Yeah, I want
to
hear the notification, and then I'll read it out loud. Although, I need you, we should continue talking about the movie first.
Yeah. Yeah, we're almost out of time. We only have 4 minutes. We're not even close to being done. The plot, we're going to have to rush.
All right, tell. Go. I already did. I just told.
You went through their life cycle, what happens to all of them?
I didn't finish.
Well,
they get shot.
Yes.
All of them. All of Rocket's friends get shot. And the only reason Rocket doesn't get shot is because he knows just that he's a genius, a super duper genius, but he needs his revenge. Because they're all trying to escape.
But that, I think that's honestly like, forget about Bambi's mom dying. Forget about the Scar killing Mufasa and the Lion King. Like, yes, those are all traumatizing things. And I'm not saying this does not belong in a kid's movie. Kids need a bit of a fictional trauma in their lives.
Amen.
I hate whenever movies that are for families or for you know, all ages or whatever sand off any rough edges of a movie, but watching three adorable handicapped talking animals get their faces blown off is
that's so much more graphic.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying that was like, you got like that, you are really just reaching right into the old chest.
That was the saddest thing in the whole entire world, and everyone knows it's like a joke that like no one can, like, whenever you're watching a horror movie and the dog dies, everyone cries way before any of the humans do.
Right.
And they were just like, that's exactly what we're doing.
We're going to triple down on that.
Yes. And it was so sad.
Some of the critics that have been, like, ragging on this movie have been like, the movie just has these scenes of animal abuse that are just egregious. I'm like, get out of here. Get out of here. That's what I say to them. I invite them critics over to my house, and then I kick them out just so I can say, get out of here.
You're fired.
But anyway, honestly, that's like the main core of the movie, because the rest of the movie is kind of a shaggy, galaxy-spanning little adventure of the rest of the team going to all these different places for this company, this corporation that the High Evolutionary owns, trying to get this key so they can actually save Rocket's life.
Yes.
So in a weird way, it's Rocket's story, and he is the primary...
He's like the protagonist.
Yeah, of the movie. But he's kind of sidelined from the whole rest of the adventure because he's in a coma. You know what I mean?
It was very weird.
So it's like he's starring in his own little mini-movie about his past, but he's not with the Guardians for most of the time.
Mm-mm.
There's a lot of fun little adventures they go on. But like, you know, this podcast is not about just going through the plot of a movie moment by moment. So I'm not really upset about that fact that we focused where we did. But there are fun little moments. There's a great Nathan Fillion cameo. I was going to tell you. So I don't know if you know who Judy Greer is.
I do.
You do?
Yeah, she's in
In Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Archer. Yeah, she's the secretary.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the war pig.
are you for real?
Yeah.
That's who that was?
Yep.
That is so funny.
But yeah, there's a lot of, the action.
Judy Greer was Archer's mom.
Oh my God. No. Not.
Not Archer's mom?
Nope.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is, all that stuff that happens is fun, and there are great set pieces. The action is, I mean, James Gunn is not phoning this in, you know what I mean? He's putting his signature style on it to where it's cool, it's kind of gross, and it's, like, so well choreographed. I think there's one part where a camera, like, goes into a hole that someone shot into someone's stomach, you know what I mean? Like, goes through it.
Yeah.
So I just really love this as a finale for this trilogy. That everybody got their emotional beats. The team, for the most part, disbands.
Yeah.
And also, see a lot more of Cosmo, who I absolutely love.
Cosmo.
But yeah, I would say I would easily. I'm gonna give it a bonus point for actually capping off a trilogy in a positive way. So normally I'd probably give this like 8, but I'm gonna give this 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10 what?
Galaxies? I don't know. Moon rocks?
So we always
animal
do.
Paws?
That's what we always do.
Well,
why I like I'm the goofball.
I didn't feel like doing it. We're a minute over time, so you better give it your rating.
All right, I'm going to do 67 out of 67 animal abuse. Anti-animal abuse. PETAs.
So you give it a 10. 10 out of 10.
I give it a 67 out of 67.
That's a 10 out of 10. All right, until next time, that's our show. Check out Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It's at theaters now if you haven't already. Or go see it again.
Bro. Yeah, this was good. Bye, guys.
This has been a Rogue Media Podcast.